shelter of His arms. No matter what you may be facing, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what you have just gone through, there is peace in the shelter of His arms. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Familiar passage to a lot of you. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? We say Heritage Christian Academy. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? I remember there in Acts, the Bible says Paul standing before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What does it mean to be a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 8. Kind of just going right into this paragraph, give you a little bit of a context. It says in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But ye," verse 9 is our text verse, "but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." We've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to open the Word and to hear from you this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us, that you would encourage us as we look at what it is to be a Christian. And I pray this morning if there's someone here who is not a Christian, I pray, Lord, that they would accept you today. Lord, help us as Christians to walk the walk. Help us to talk the talk. Help us to be imitators of your Son. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, let's kind of start out, and you could make a bigger list than this, and because of time, we won't maybe go through the whole list. But what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? What it is not? Slow down a little bit. Every time I get crunched for time, I get a little bit flustered. So we're going to slow down a little bit. We're going to get you out on time. We're going to slow down. What is it not? What is it not? Being born in the United States of America does not make you a Christian. In fact, the polls now say that 15% of America's claims to be atheist. That's a huge number. A huge number. Obama said that, you know, that we're no longer in a Christian nation. Now, that's not right, but that was his words. Sorry to bring up politics this morning. America was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. America's heritage is very important. The majority of Americans, and we've seen this by way of surveys that have been done, the majority of Americans claim and would claim to be Christians. We live in a Christian nation. We live in a Christian nation founded upon Christian principles. But your American heritage does not make you a Christian. Being born into a family of Christians does not make you a Christian. My dad was a preacher. My dad still is a lay preacher. And what a tremendous blessing it was to be raised in a home that was Christian. That my dad got up in the mornings, and nearly every morning, not in the summer, but during the school year, got up in the mornings and cooked us a big breakfast. And we sat around the table and ate together, and we opened the Word of God, my dad gave us a devotional time. My dad practiced what he preached, lived a Christian life, still does. And I'm thankful for my Christian family that I was privileged to be raised in. But being raised in a Christian home does not make you a Christian. Being baptized does not make you a Christian. Being a member of the church does not make you a Christian. Joining Heritage Baptist Church this morning, you could walk down the aisle 10 times. It's not going to make you a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, primarily, I would say to you this morning, in summarizing, being a Christian means to be Christ-like. It means to be an imitator of Christ. As we think about being a Christian, the starting block is to be born again. In order to be a Christian, one must understand and know that he is a child or she is a child of God, and having received the Holy Spirit by way of that salvation. I'm glad today that I'm saved. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old that I knelt in my pastor's office and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And what a wonderful decision, the greatest decision I've ever made. It's changed my life. And it'll change yours. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, He answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. How do we get born again? We get born again by getting saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God upon our sins. How do we get saved? How do we get born again? We must understand and recognize that we're sinners. That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all selfish by nature. We must understand that there's a price for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Revelation describes that death as Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There is a penalty for sin. The penalty for sin is death. But not just physical death, but a spiritual death. And that is the lake of fire. By the way, if you believe in heaven, you've got to believe in hell. They're both just as real today as they've ever been. And in order for us to escape hell and have a home in heaven, we must put our personal faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His life and His death and His resurrection as our only means of salvation, as our only means of being born again. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins by going to the cross and there dying for our sins, dying in our place. In other words, He was our substitute. That's not very hard to understand. We had several teachers walk up here this morning, and every once in a while, they can't make it. They have a kid sick, or they're sick, or they're out of town, they had to go to the doctor, and everyone, we bring in a substitute. Oh, man, I pray for those who substitute Miss Kendrick's class. I pray for Miss Kendrick and Miss Tramar, those who deal with those 3, 4, 5-year-olds, I'm just, boy. But every once in a while, we bring in, Miss Canny or Miss Ratledge or whomever is substituting. I don't know who all substitutes, but they substitute. They stand in the place of that teacher who has to be gone. Let me tell you, our Lord stood in our place. Our Lord hung on that cross for me, for you. He paid the penalty for our sins. That death, He died that death. That spiritual death, He died that spiritual death. He took the wrath of God for our sins. In order that our sins might be forgiven. In order that our sins might be thrown into the depths of the sea. Never to be remembered anymore. Amen. Jesus Christ died in our place. And then we simply must have faith in Him. Believe on Him. In that He lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. That He died for us there on the cross. That He was buried. And that He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news of salvation. I hope today that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you don't, you can come down to the altar in just a little bit. We're going to sing a little bit. And you can learn from the Word of God how you can know that you're saved. Salvation is the starting block of being a Christian. It's the starting point. Not being a member of the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or anyone else. That does not make you a Christian. Being saved is a starting point. By the way, upon salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what enables us to live that peculiar life that Peter speaks of there in verse 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live as imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to say to you this morning that Heritage Christian Academy endeavors and its priority is to lead every child to Jesus. Every ministry of Heritage Baptist Church, its goal is to lead people to Jesus. Whether it's the children's church this morning that's taking place next door, or the Master Club Ministries, to the Children's Choir. Every ministry's priority, it endeavors to lead others to Jesus Christ. It's his priority. It's not second place, not third place. It's first place. Number two, we think about being a Christian. A Christian is one who reads the Word. I know these are simplistic to a lot of you, but just think about it for a second. A Christian is one who imitates Christ. He's one who understands and knows that the Word of God is his roadmap for life. This is my guide for life. in every area of life. Christians, we must understand that we advertise to the world that we're Christians by living for Him. In order to live for Him, we must understand how to do that. We do that by the guide. This tells us how to live. A Christian studies and follows the Word of God. It is the guidebook for the Christian. And I think about our Christian Academy. I think Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Our young lady cleanse her way. "By taking heed thereunto thy word." You want to keep right? You want to stay right? You want to live a Christian life? It's the Word of God that enables us to do so. Tells us how to live that. The first textbooks of the public school systems were filled with Bible, filled with scriptures. You can still buy, there are places that reproduce those primers, those first textbooks. See, our public school system has it totally backwards. And I know we got a lot of our public school teachers here today and a lot of you actively involved, and I'm not trying to, no way were we, and we never do. We don't bash the public school system at Heritage, but just want to, all of us are fully aware of the problems in the public school system. HCA teaches the Word of God. The Bible is the foundation for all subjects. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I remember as an eighth grader, my science teacher, on the back wall of the science class was a scripture, Matthew 7:12. "Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets." And under that it said, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." And under that it said, the golden rule. That, this morning, is what our kids need. They need to be taught the Bible. They need to be taught the Bible. I'm going to get into that a little more in a minute. The Christian, a Christian is one who reads the Word of God. A Christian is one who accepts Christ as Savior. A Christian is one who tells others of Jesus, both verbally and by way of their testimony. Listen, we ought to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ to evangelize the lost. Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And it's very primarily important that we tell others of Jesus. There are many lost souls around who are dying, going to hell if we don't tell them. We must tell others. By the way, it's good news. There's so much negative stuff out there. Man, give them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. I spent a little time there, but you guys took all my time, so I've got to hurry. Heritage Christian Academy encourages and helps its students to share their faith, as we all should share our faith. A Christian is one who shares his faith. A Christian is one who reads the Word. A Christian is one who is, first off, saved. And a Christian is one who loves and fears the Lord. You say, if love and fear go together, yes, they do. Yes, they do. I love and fear my earthly father, especially growing up. I loved him and I feared him. I didn't fear him this way, but I reverently feared him. There was a day at the age of 15, I got my last Board of Education to the seat of understanding. Yes, I was 15 when I got my last one. And my now wife got to witness it because she was at the house that day. I got a whipping every day till the time I was 12 years old. I was a little bit hyperactive and still to this day, maybe a little bit hyperactive. My dad said, "Go get the hyper medicine." That meant go get the belt. And I'm thankful for a dad who disciplined me. I'm thankful for a dad who disciplined me right, who did it in a loving fashion, never beat me, but applied the Board of Education in the right way. And never once do I ever regret or think bad of my dad for what he did. He's following the Bible, and he was very kind. The only couple of times he whipped me in anger, he actually came back and apologized. And I can remember those two instances very vividly. You should not spank your children in anger. Otherwise, you become the bully. Don't ever do it. I had to clarify myself a little bit. I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for the raising I had. But I did reverently fear him. I honestly never I never snuck out of the house when I was a teenager. I was deathly afraid of my dad. I knew that when I got back, if he caught me, that my bags would be on the front porch. You said your dad would have, yes, I have. There's not one doubt to this day that he would have done it. I didn't sneak out of the house. I reverently feared my dad, and I love him so much. Listen, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Solomon said at the end of his life, to fear God and keep his commandments was the ultimate thing in life. As Christians, a Christian is one who fears the Lord. A Christian is one who loves the Lord. Just as Jesus Christ loved his Father and obeyed him. Job 8:28 says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Jesus Christ loved his Father. Jesus Christ loved his Father and obeyed his Father. He said, not my will, but thy will be done, right? Our purpose in life, listen now, teenagers, our purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy his fellowship forever. That is our purpose in life, to glorify him, to glorify him. And we do so by loving our Lord and keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Heritage Christian Academy's goal is to, with their students and with the young people, to get them to understand the golden rule. To put before their eyes the Ten Commandments and the importance of obeying God. Its goal is to understand that there's consequences to actions. That we are accountable to our Creator. I know I'm being slow with this, I just want to be methodical. Listen, we are accountable to Him. One day, every knee shall bow before Him, and we are accountable to Him. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I did not bring the statistics with me, but I did look them up. And a lot of preachers say this, but you can go look it up. It's very easy to find the graphs and the statistics to prove it out. But when they began to jerk God out of school, from the 19, you can look at very graphic statistics that show it. When they began to take God out of the school in the 60s, I'm talking about academically, everything else. I know we have some good school systems around here, and I'm thankful for the teachers, thankful for all that, but understand the system as a whole is broke. I feel better now. I'll move on. There's consequences. And one of the main reasons is when you don't teach a child, he's accountable to somebody. And they can come and act and do what they want to. And even in our school systems here, we can't even enforce punishment. It's unbelievable. Take God out of school. We can't even give a personal testimony at a rally over in Keller without bringing the wrath of the government upon us. Something's backwards. Something's wrong. That's not what the founding fathers intended. By the way, the separation of church and state is not found in the Constitution. It's found in some papers, yes. And the intent of the law was that the government would not endorse one church or one denomination. That's the intent. The intent was never vice versa, that the church could not influence the community and influence the school system and influence the government. It's just that the church, that the government wouldn't endorse. Look it up, people. In fact, it's common sense when you look it up. I don't have to be a lawyer to figure it out. I told you I'd get a little bit. I'm good. My intent this morning is not to rely on the subject. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you're saved and you know it. It means you read the Bible and it's your guide for life. It means that you don't mind sharing your faith with somebody, telling them of Jesus, the mighty to save. It means that you love God and you fear Him. Not afraid of Him. There's a difference. But you fear Him. Because one day we will stand before Him. To be a Christian means that you strive to live as Christ lived. Remember, Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." To be a Christian means to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. It means to be selfless, to live a life of serving others and ministering. Jesus said, "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to others." And let's imitate that. That's our goal. That's what we should strive to do as Christians, to be an imitator of Jesus Christ, to live a life that's pleasing to God, to live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And you know, Lord help us, I mentioned separation. We should live a separated life. As a Christian, we should talk different, act different, and smell different. Now I'm being funny, but you know, we should be different. He says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And some of us are very peculiar. But we ought to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. We ought to be a light in the midst of darkness. We encourage our students at HCA to be light. Be light. Be holy. Live right. Do right. Live for Jesus Christ. And it's not about a set of rules. It's about imitating Jesus Christ. It's about having a personal walk with Him, a personal relationship with Him. And listen, young people can do that as well as adults. Kids 8, 9, 10, kids 7, kids 6 can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes younger, depending on where they're at. Listen, it's about Jesus. It's about imitating Him. A Christian is one who strives, who endeavors to live for Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who gives him or herself to the Lord. It's one who understands that we've been bought with a price and we are to glorify God in our bodies. We give ourselves and yield ourselves to Him. A Christian is one who is a steward of his life or her life and understands that. Redeeming the time. My life verse is Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to please the Lord with every minute I have. As Christians, we should endeavor, strive to be good stewards of our lives. As Christians, we should do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We should do all to the glory of Him. As Christians, we should have a heart for God. Love God. As Christians, we should grow. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. We should endeavor to grow. We should strive to grow in the Lord, the knowledge of Him. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth what? Me, that I am the Lord. The most important thing, the most important knowledge that you can attain is knowledge of the Lord. To grow in Him. As Christians, we should serve others. Love serves. Love serves. I haven't preached it yet, but I'm going to. The parable, the story, which is related to us, that when the disciples saw, and Jesus told the story about others that were doing, people were doing for others, giving a cup of cool water in His name, doing for others. The disciples were like, well, what are they doing? Why are they serving them and serving these other people and serving these other people? And Jesus said, well, whatever they do, it's like as if they did it for me. When you serve others, you serve Jesus. When you serve others, you serve Jesus. Be imitators of Jesus Christ. A Christian, you're not a Christian because you were born in America. You're not a Christian because you were born in a Christian home. You're not a Christian because you joined some church or you got baptized in some water or got sprinkled or whatever it may be. No, you're a Christian because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. and you develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're a Christian because you read the Bible and you view the Bible as a roadmap for your life. You're a Christian because you don't mind sharing your faith. You're a Christian because you love the Lord and you fear Him. You're a Christian because you endeavor and you strive to live a life that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. You're a Christian because you want to imitate Jesus Christ. Because you do love Him. You do strive to grow in His knowledge. And you do strive to serve others. Are you a Christian this morning? They were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Why were they called Christians at Antioch first? Well, because the believers there were imitating Jesus Christ. His followers, His disciples were imitating Christ. And though at that point it may have been a disparaging nickname, it stuck. Today we're called Christians. Those of us who follow Jesus. But simply going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Are you a disciple? Are you imitating Christ? Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know you're saved? Do you live a life that's imitating His? Christian, are you a victorious Christian? Are you living a life that's pleasing to Him by way of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's power that you were given at the moment of salvation that enables you by His grace to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way you can imitate Christ is through Him. You can't do it on your own. You can't. It's only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you please, in just a moment, we're going to sing, you can step out of your chair and come forward, and someone will show you from the Bible how you can have salvation. Christian, are you an imitator of Jesus Christ? Or are you just playing the game? Do you just come on Sunday and dress up? Or do you imitate Christ during the week? Let's be imitators of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Hymn number 167, Just As I Am. Hymn number 167. Lord, touch your heart, you come after we pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we've had again to ponder and think about what it means to be a Christian. And Lord, I thank you for my salvation and for being raised in a Christian home. And God, what a privilege it is. And it was. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as their Savior, I pray today that you would give them courage to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. And Lord, there are so many of us here today, most of us, who would say we're Christians, but Lord, are we living it? Help us, Lord, to imitate your dear Son to the world around us. Help us to be a light in the darkness. Help us to be that peculiar people as you've asked us to be. Help us to be that ambassadors for your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 167, as we